Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts in chapter 16. I'm going to direct your attention to verse 25, and we'll read a few verses here for our text this morning, and we'll just trust that the Lord will answer the prayer that has already been prayed, that He'd bless His word today. All right? Amen. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, the Bible says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." I read that story, and we're going to focus in and zero in on a particular thing. And there's a lot that we could cover in this passage, but this passage is maybe one of the best known salvation stories there is in the Bible. Everybody knows about the Philippian jailer, at least most people do. And his famous words, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That conversion was a wonderful, wonderful experience and really testament to the power of God to change a person's life. But it really goes back to what we read in these verses concerning Paul and Silas. In verse 24, or verse 25, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Notice that, the prisoners heard them. They heard what was happening. What was coming out of Paul and Silas was a result of what was on the inside of their heart. And they sang and praised God at midnight, even when they were in the prison. And maybe we won't get as far in this passage as maybe I'm hoping to consider the Philippian jailer himself. But what I want to see out of this passage is for us to observe the great life principles here for us, that God can use us and God can get glory out of any situation that we find ourselves in life, even the most trying of times in life. And when we respond rightly to it, it can be a great testimony to those around us. I want you to first note with me verse 25, that the testimony of Paul and Silas here. Again, we make note of the fact that they prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It tells us, and I'll give you some context of what's going on here, but before I do that, I want to make this comment. Apparently, Paul and Silas actually believed the truth and the principle of Romans 8:28. And if you know what Romans 8:28 is that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. What was the situation that was happening here with Paul and Silas? Well, they're clearly in prison. Paul and Silas had been arrested. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit more, but they'd been beaten. Their feet are fast in the stocks, and they for preaching Jesus Christ, and it caused a stir, and people didn't like it. They've been arrested, and they're in prison in this very moment. At a time when maybe the average Christian would be complaining about their circumstances, maybe wallowing in some self-pity over their circumstances, the Bible tells us that these men were singing and praying and praising God in the middle of their circumstances. Instead of being moody, instead of being grumpy, instead of being cast down, instead of being discouraged, instead of being discontent, They sang praise unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. What a testimony Paul and Silas had. You want to talk about your life affecting or being a testimony to other people? Let's just talk about it when times are hard, or when things aren't going well for us, or we're not really in the best of circumstances. We grumble, we complain, we don't have a great attitude. Other people see it, other people hear it. You want to damage your testimony? Just be that kind of a person. You want to be a testimony for Christ and the power of God in your life? Praise God in the middle of trying circumstances and see how it has an effect on other people. Why are you so joyful? Why are you different? What's different about you? Maybe we'll get to that another time, but I want to zero in on this thought here. If anybody could be discontent about their situation, it could have been Paul and Silas. But they weren't. They didn't allow their circumstance to affect their mood. They didn't allow their circumstance to affect what came out of their mouth as far as complaining or grumbling. They didn't allow their circumstance to keep them from being spiritually minded. And there's a particular reason for that. I just want to look at a few passages of Scripture in Psalms. If you go back to Psalm 28, please. Psalm 28. And see and understand what the psalmist David here said. In Psalm 28 and verse 6, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I sing praise, will I praise him." He's saying, God helped me. God was my strength. God was my refuge. The Lord heard my cry, and I'm helped. And therefore, I can greatly rejoice, and with my song will I praise him. Listen, God's help in his life caused him to praise him. But even in trying circumstances, we find that the Lord can still be our strength. In Psalm 32, in verse 7, Psalm 32, another psalm of David, he said in verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. In Psalm 40, in verse 1, Psalm 40, in verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Psalm 42, verse 8. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Look at verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." His eyes were focused on God instead of himself, and that allowed him to praise and worship him. And listen, when our eyes are focused on ourselves, it hinders our worship unto the Lord. What was the issue with Paul and Silas here? Their circumstance wasn't great, but their eyes were on the Lord. And they sang praise unto God in the middle of the circumstance. And here's the application. And I'll ask you this question. I want you to think about it, and I want you to be honest with yourself, all right? And I want you to be honest with the Lord. I've had to do this myself, okay? I've had to do this myself. Is there some discontentment in your life right now over some circumstance? Are you experiencing or feeling some discontentment in your life over some circumstance? All right? I saw some people get a little fidgety. That means that you're asking yourself the question, but it also means that you need to be honest with yourself here in this situation. Is there some discontentment in my life over some circumstance? Now, here's the principle, and here's something that we need to recognize and we need to acknowledge with ourselves. Discontentment in the life is a result of not seeing and trusting in the sufficiency of the Lord. Really believing that He is in control of all things. Really believing that He knows exactly what is happening and He's allowed it or He's even caused it for His glory and my good. I want you to note some things with me about the Apostle Paul's life, though, because we read here that they sang and praised God even while their feet were fast in the stocks, while they were in prison, under trying circumstances, they were singing and praising God. I want you to note some things about his life. How did he get to that point where he could do that? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 10, Paul writes, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, the context of Philippians chapter 4 here is that Paul is thanking the church at Philippi for their care and their giving unto him to help him with his needs. But he notes in verse 10 that he rejoiced. He rejoiced greatly for their care. He says in verse 10, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." But it wasn't because he was in great want that he was rejoicing over this. Verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." So he's rejoicing over their care, but it wasn't because he was in some great want, and now this want is met, and so, oh, I can rejoice about this. No. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." The Lord had taken care of him. You look down in verse 16. He wasn't rejoicing over it because he had some great need. Even though he possibly did have a need, that wasn't the reason he was rejoicing over their care. In verse 17, he says, "It's not even because I desire it a gift." It wasn't because of that that I'm rejoicing. I want fruit to abound to your account. Okay? But I want you to note two things with me about Paul that we glean from this. What is, first of all, what was the condition that Paul had arrived at in his life? He says in verse 11, he says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." What was the condition that Paul had arrived at in his life? He learned to be content. That word content there, I want you to understand what this word means, okay? It's really important that you understand this. It's a word that, it's a Greek word that means this. It means independent of circumstance, condition, or surrounding. Okay? He says, "I've learned to be content." It means independent of circumstance, condition, or surrounding. Paul is literally and honestly stating that I've learned that in whatever state I find myself in, to be independent of those circumstances, to be independent of that condition, to be independent of the surroundings. And our text in Acts bears that truth out in his life. The physical condition that Paul found himself in Acts chapter 16, it couldn't be much worse. Here he is in prison. He'd been arrested. He had already been beaten. He'd been bloodied. He'd been thrown into prison with his feet fast in the stocks. His situation couldn't be much worse, and yet so little did those situations affect him that it didn't have an effect on his attitude. It didn't have an effect on his mood. So little did it affect him that he was able to sing praise unto God at midnight. They were independent of the circumstances. They were content. In other words, here it is. They were not mastered or controlled by their circumstances so as to let it affect their spirit, their function, their attitude, and their purpose. Circumstance or position or condition in life should not, it so often does, me included, but it should not determine our misery or our joy. If we are independent of the circumstances, right? We're joyful when things are going great. When I'm getting my way, I'm riding on cloud nine, things are going so good, man, it's great. When I'm the boss, I'm the king. I'm the one who's getting all the credit. Things are great. But when things aren't so great, and we're having one problem after the next, and it doesn't seem like life is really lining up, all of a sudden, I'm not so content anymore. Right? Our joy should not depend on what is happening to us or what other people say or do, maybe say about us or do to us. If we've learned to be content, independent of circumstance, then we are at liberty and full in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To Paul, Jesus Christ was his everything. He said, for me to live is Christ. To Paul, he learned when God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. He learned that God's way was perfect. And that's very liberating and freeing to the soul and to the spirit. And that's exactly why he was able to sing praise unto God, even in the middle of those circumstances. Learning how to live without allowing our circumstance to affect our inner peace and our joy, that is something that is real gain and growth in the Christian life. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul is saying, my life, my happiness, my joy, my experience, it's independent of the things that are going on around me and even the things that are happening to me. But you know what? I want you to note the opposites. Look at verse 12 of Philippians 4. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He knows how to be abased. He knows how to be hungry. He knows how to suffer need. On the other hand, he knows how to abound and he knows how to be full, and he knows how to have plenty. He's on both sides of the issue. Listen, whether it's good, whether it's bad, he's still independent of the circumstance. And I wonder what's more difficult, to be abased or to abound without losing contentedness. I think they're both difficult, and maybe they're equally difficult. But here's the question. Can I be abased without feeling a sense of grudge? Selah. Let's pause for effect here. Can I be abased without feeling a sense of grudge? Or without being worried or anxious? Can I be abased in my profession or office or work? Can I somehow or another be put down and still remain in spirit exactly as I was before? Maybe there's a demotion of some sort. Maybe I don't hold the same clout that I used to. Maybe somebody is saying things about me on the job. Maybe whatever. You plug it into the situation, whatever it is. But can I somehow be abased in some situation and remain in spirit exactly as I was before? Or do I get a sense of grudge? What a difficult thing that is. To take a second place. To be hurt. To be insulted. To suffer some physical or emotional pain and still remain in spirit as the Lord would have me to be. Probably one of the most difficult tasks in life is to discover how to suffer any or all of those things without feeling a sense of grudge, without complaint, without bitterness of spirit somehow. To discover how not to be anxious or worried. Paul tells us that he reached that condition. Whatever state I am, I've learned to be content, independent of circumstance. And our text bears that out, where even in the middle of all of that trial, Paul is able to praise God. He had experienced every kind of trial, every kind of tribulation, and yet he was unaffected by it. But how did he reach that condition? That's the condition he arrived at. But how did he reach it? In verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." I've learned. In whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That tells us that he wasn't always that way. It's something he had to learn in his life. In verse 12, he says, "I'm instructed." I'm instructed. The word instructed means to initiate. It means to be taught. I'm very glad that the Apostle Paul is honest here. And he says, "I've learned this, and I've been instructed, I've been taught this." I'm glad for that. The implication is that he wasn't always this way, and it was something that had to be developed in his life. You know why I'm glad for that? Because I'm like that. I'm just like that too. In fact, the impression that we get from reading of Paul's life in the New Testament is that it might have been a difficult thing for him to have to learn. If you study out the Apostle Paul's life, you might get the impression that Paul was a proud man. Not in necessarily a negative way, a boastful way, but his nature was that. And he might have been even somewhat intense in his personality. The Bible tells us that he withstood Peter to the face because he was to be blamed. He wasn't shy about telling it like it was. He might have been intense in his personality. He seemed to be a very active person. And I can just imagine in this situation in our text in Acts, it might have been really irritating for him to have to sit in prison, not able to go and do and be what he needs to be and wants to do. He couldn't be somewhere else doing something for the Lord. It might have been really irritating for him to have to be in that situation. Also, you note that he was a Roman citizen, and yet he was enduring bondage with slaves, with criminals in prison. It could be very easy for him to start to have a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a grumbly or complainy spirit because he's not getting what he wants or what he desires. And yet he says, I've learned to be content. He's able to praise God independent of the circumstance. What was the secret? How did he learn? How did he learn this contentment? Well, you can look at other portions of Scripture and you can see that Paul probably had to learn some things through experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 9, back up just a little bit. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Notice that he says this thorn in the flesh was given to him, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, for himself, because of the revelations, because of God's work in his life, it's possible that it could have gone to his head. He could have claimed credit for those things himself. And so to prevent that, to protect against that, a thorn in the flesh was given to him to buffet him. And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times. Lord, take it away. But then God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's better that you're weak, because then you can see God's strength. It's made perfect in weakness. And then Paul, when he realized it, when he recognized it, his attitude was different. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. His thorn in the flesh, he didn't like it. He struggled against it, in fact, and three times he asked for it to be removed. Maybe he was a little impatient even. He wanted to go on preaching. He wanted to go on serving, but this thorn was keeping him down. Then he was taught this lesson. My grace is sufficient for thee. He came to a place of understanding as a result of the experience of God dealing in his life. You know, experience can be a very good teacher. Some of us are slower to learn than others. But God, in his kindness, continues his perfecting work in us that we might actually be to the praise of his glory. You know what? We cease to be to the praise of his glory, and we hinder the work of Christ when our attitude is being affected because of circumstance. Because I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I really, really want. So now I'm going to grumble. Now I'm going to complain. Now I'm going to find fault. Now I'm going to nitpick. Now I'm going to have an attitude. God taught him this lesson, that my grace is sufficient for thee. And so experience was a teacher, no doubt, for the Apostle Paul, bringing him to this place of learning how to be content. But he also, no doubt, learned it by looking unto the perfect example, which is Christ himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Jesus Christ is the perfect example, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That word despising means to think little of. He thought little of the shame. He thought little of those things. And then verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Not great circumstances. And that there was joy that was set before Jesus Christ. And the author, or the writer, rather, of Hebrews says, consider Christ. Consider Christ, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And what I'm saying is, I'm sure the Apostle Paul learned by the example of Jesus Christ. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, turn over there quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 17. Or verse 16, rather. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Those are his trials and his circumstances. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's the trials. That's the circumstances. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What is the eternal part? The thing that works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You don't focus on the circumstance. Those are the things that are seen. That's not fun. I don't want that. But I know that it's working in me the will of God. And that's the eternal. And he applied that in his own life. He applied that in his life, even sitting in prison. And he says, I've come to learn in whatever state I am to be independent of those circumstances because of my total dependence on Christ and his sufficiency. You don't like what's happening? Take it up with the Lord. Right? Take it up with the Lord. Because he's really in control. And it just might be that when I do that, I find that my perspective begins to change. I think I'm right. I think I'm right in the way that I think about things. I think I'm right in the way that I'm perceiving and interpreting things. And the lens that I'm looking through, I think is right. And I know your problems, and I can see what's really going on, but when I take it to the Lord, then I might find that my perspective needs to change. And he might do that. I don't need the Lord to get in line with the way that I think. I need to get in line with the way he thinks. So here, Christian, can you say with the Apostle Paul, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content, to be independent of the circumstance, that my joy or my misery is not dependent on what is happening around me or to me? Can you say that? Do you know that state of contentedness? Well, I need to have the Lord help me to learn this truth more and more. Let that be my ambition. Let that be your ambition. Let that be our ambition. God's plan is always best. No matter what may arise, it is allowed or caused by Him, and my sufficiency is in Him. And that fullness is because, listen, the fullness that we can experience is because of our dependence on Him. His grace, it's equally sufficient for whatever the circumstance. And thereby enabling us to trust Him. And when we fully trust Him, that brings with it contentment. No matter what condition we would find ourselves in. But all too often, we're up when things are good, we're joyful. We're down when things are bad. And we're up and down like this yo-yo, depending on the circumstance. May the Lord help us to learn some contentment in our life. And if there's some discontentment in the life, then it's because I'm not seeing or trusting in the sufficiency of the Lord. Of the Lord. Amen. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. May the Lord help us to trust in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for truth, and thank You for reminders. Lord, help us to come into alignment with You. When we experience some discontentment with life, and I know it, I've been there many times, and yet You're reminding me and teaching me again that You're in control, that my job and my purpose is just to yield to You, to get in alignment with You. Your grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter what people say or do. If I'm in Your will and I'm pleasing to You, that's all that matters. And Lord, we need to be reminded, because we can so often let what we perceive to be something negative, we can let it affect our spirit and our function. We can hinder the work of the Lord. We can be something that isn't building up the body of Christ, but actually hurting it and tearing it down. It can affect our testimony to the world around us. What if the Apostle Paul and Silas were grumbling, complaining over being in prison, not being out there busy? What if those were the things that the prisoners heard? The prisoners heard them. But because of that spirit in their heart, it had a huge effect on those around them, to the saving of the Philippian jailer and his whole house. It opened up the door to preach the gospel. Lord, help us to see things through those glasses. We influence and affect other people with our words and our attitudes and our spirit of others as well. What a shame. Lord, help us, Lord, to get in line with You, to to learn this truth and this principle, and I'm just as guilty many times over. But our fullness should be in you, and our joy should be in Christ. And like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He is my all in all. And Lord, I pray that you'd cause us to reflect today. And Lord, to receive from you. And may we respond rightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.